Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. It's Joanna, and I'm so, so happy to be here with all of you today. I want to start our call off today, actually, by doing a little bit of a grounding and just really getting settled and fully present. So we'll just close our eyes for a few moments. So I invite you to close your eyes, whatever you're doing. You just put it aside. Close your eyes. If you're somewhere where you don't feel comfortable closing your eyes, close the shades on your eyes. Go inward, almost as if your eyes were closed. And as you close your eyes, feel your seat beneath you or the ground beneath that. Just allow yourself to settle in, just to settle in right here, feeling the earth beneath you, really supporting you. And then from there, begin to focus on your breath, inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up. Take in life. And as you exhale, release. Let go. Inhaling, taking in what you need, opening up. Exhaling, releasing, and letting go. Using the breath to connect with your body. Inhaling and exhaling, connecting with your body. Using the breath to connect in with the wisdom that is stored in your body. That you have with you every moment of every day. And as you breathe in this way, inhaling and exhaling and connecting with your body, I invite you to find the place in your body where today your wisdom feels most powerful and most potent. It might be in your heart, your belly, your throat, wherever it is for you. There's no wrong answer here. Don't overthink it. Just sense in. Where do you sense your wisdom is really activated today in your body? And wherever that is, allow yourself to breathe straight into that part of your body. Inhaling and exhaling, connecting deeply to that place where, for right now, your wisdom is very active, very potent. And as you breathe into this place of wisdom in your body, I invite you to ask it, what is it that you need to know today? What is a piece of wisdom that is important for you today? And just see what it says. What does it want to let you know? You may hear the answer. You may see it. You may feel it. What do you need to know today? And then from there, we'll all take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. Great. Okay. So a couple of just quick housekeeping pieces before we dive in. The first is I think almost everyone has stepped into the Facebook group, but there are still a couple of people that haven't. So if you haven't come into our private Facebook group for Sacred Depths, you should have received an email about it. My team will probably also reach out to you so that you can get in there. We've already had incredible engagement in there and shares and takeaways and ahas and breakthroughs. It's been great to just be in, with the community and see what's going on there. I've already shared a little bit of an extra supplemental resource. I did a Facebook Live in there. So there's lots going on in the Facebook group. So I hope you'll get in there. Second piece, a lot of people have been letting us know that you would like to do the partner coaching. I'm happy that so many of you would like to do that. And you should have already been receiving, you know, match-ups, you know, who you'll be partnering with. I'm not going to give you partner homework until next week. We'll start it next week because I know it always takes, you know, an extra, like, week just to get logistics set and decide when you're going to be meeting with your partner and all that stuff. So, and there's still time. If you'd like a partner, you know, just let us know in the next day or two and we'll get you set with someone, and I'll be giving you more information on that as we go along, too. And then the third housekeeping piece that I just wanted to mention is the requirements for certification. So I'll be reminding you of these towards the end of the training as well. Nothing that you have to do right now, but I just want to make sure that I lay out so you know what you need to do in order to get certified when we're complete. So if you would like to be certified as a Sacred Depths coach, and being certified means that you get the certification, and then we will also, and you can use that certification in any of your marketing and all of that in your credentials, and then we will also promote you on our website as well if you are a certified Sacred Depths coach. So if you would like that, then there are a couple of requirements. So the first is to obviously listen and engage in all the calls, whether you come live or listen to the recordings. And then you'll get like a check sheet, which you'll be able to fill out. Oh, hold on a second. Here's the background noise. Make sure everybody's on mute. All right, there we go. You'll get in your member center, you'll see a worksheet, and you can just check off that you've listened to each call, that you've done all the homework and the worksheets. So that's the first requirement. Second requirement is to be working with a coaching partner and to be doing that practice coaching and to do 18 sessions of that. The third requirement is, in addition to those 18 sessions with your coaching partner from Sacred Depths, to do another 18 hours. If you're already working with clients, that can you can include those 18 hours, so long as you're using the methodology that you learn here, which I know you will be. If you're not yet working with clients, it can be volunteers, it can be extra time with your buddy, however you want to get to those 18 hours. And then the last requirement, once we're complete, and you'll have time to do this, by the way, these requirements aren't due at the end of the program. We give you like 4 months beyond, because I know everybody's busy. It takes time. The last requirement is to submit a 25-minute recording of you coaching, and then we do an assessment of the coaching, and there are a couple of the competencies that we're looking for that we assess you on. So all of that information is in your member center, but I just wanted to voice-to-voice lay it out. Okay, so today we're going to be starting our listening skills module, our deep listening skills module. But before we get there, there's a piece that I didn't get to last week that's really important when it comes to the energetics of the coaching relationship, what we were looking at last week. And so I want to just take a few minutes to share on this piece with you. Because it's really important and really actually quite revolutionary. So the piece is, in order to create a strong coaching relationship, you must create a strong coaching container. I'm going to say that again. In order to create a strong coaching relationship, right, which we spoke about last week, is just the heart of everything, the coaching relationship. In order to create a strong coaching relationship, you must create a strong coaching container. Okay, so what does that mean? Every client relationship that you have, and for that matter, any session, any client session you have, any retreat you lead, any workshop, any class you teach, needs to have a container. It's not a container that you see, per se, that's tangible, necessarily, but yet it is very real. The container literally holds the coaching work together. It helps you and your client come together as a unified whole. It helps you both stay engaged. And it helps you both to not physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually drift off and disconnect. Containers keep your clients connected to you during your sessions and also in between your sessions so that you don't have to work so hard to make that happen. Tight containers create a sense of trust and allow clients to be fully present, to engage, and to be vulnerable. They create the environment for the highest level of transformation and results. Transformation and results happen when energy is transformed. I'm going to say that again. Transformation and results happen when energy is transformed. And you can't transform energy if you don't have a tight container for the energy to be transformed in. So the best way I know to describe this or explain this or illustrate this is think about a glass of water. We can think about the glass or the cup is the container, and the water inside is the energy. It's almost like the coaching, right, that you're doing. If you take that cup of water and you want to transform the water in it, you want to shift the water, you want to move the water, you want to make the water move to a result, then you take the cup of water and you swirl it around, right, and the water moves. The water is transformed. In order for that water to move and to shift and transform, it needs the container. It needs the cup. If the cup weren't there, what would happen to the water? It would just splatter out all over the place. There would be no mechanism to be able to shift it. And that's what the coaching container is. Now, many coaches don't know how to create strong containers, and they actually don't even know that they're supposed to create strong containers. So instead, they end up with leaky coaching containers. So what's a leaky container? Well, back to the metaphor of the glass or the cup, a leaky container, imagine if there were holes in that cup. The water would just leak right out, right? And that leak, in coaching terms, means energy leaks, disengagement, confusion, sessions falling flat. So for me, in a way, this is all about the power of the circle, even if it's a circle of two, just you and your client. So many of you know, before I was a coach, I was trained as a ritualist, and so I always think of things in terms of ritual, and ritual and ceremony are often done in circles, and the reason is because the circle becomes the container. So I always like to imagine it almost as if there's a loving circle that's being held around me and my client so that we can do the powerful work together and it's contained. Okay, so how do you actually create a strong coaching container? First of all, back to last week, equalize the playing field. When there is an equal playing field, it just automatically helps create a tighter, stronger container. Number two, you want to prepare yourself to hold the container. So what that means is you want to start even paving the way beforehand. Any of the emails that you send before a session, and I'll get into more details about that, when you first start working with someone, all of that helps to create the container. So in other words, setting clear ground rules and protocols for the coaching and then sticking to the ground rules and the protocols and sticking to the boundaries is a way of creating a strong container. In other words, the more that you can, as you start out working with a client, for the both of you to agree on what are the terms of the coaching, what is the coaching going to look like, what are the boundaries, what are the protocols, the tighter of a container there's going to be, right, that actually can create that cup that I was talking about, that glass, right, then everybody knows, okay, this is what's holding us. Because an ounce of pre-framing prevents a pound of reframing. I'm going to say that again because that statement is pure gold. So pre-framing, right, is getting clear beforehand. An ounce of pre-framing through setting the agreements correctly can masterfully prevent a pound of later on having to fight against the tide to course correct and reframe. So what are the ground rules and the protocols that I'm talking about that help set the container? What are the things that really can create more trust, more partnership, and clearer communication? Well, so you want to be clear, for example, on how long are your coaching sessions. You want to be clear on what are your responsibilities as the coach, as well as what are your clients' responsibilities. You know, what are the expectations of you, and then what are the expectations of the client, you know, that you expect of your client. And you want to be clear on when you schedule sessions. What are the times that you're available? When are you not? You want to be clear on how you're going to schedule your sessions. I know all of this is obvious. I point it out, and we'll have a full call just on getting all these systems set, but I point it out now when we look at energetics and containers because these things create safety. They create an understanding. They create the container. You want to be clear about payment and not only what payment is, but how is the client going to pay you. It creates confusion when there's uncertainty about when payment happens, what kind of payment you accept. It creates uncertainty when people don't know how they're supposed to schedule or when the calls are going to happen. One thing that I highly recommend that really is so helpful in all of this is when I start working with a client one-on-one, we schedule out all of their sessions ahead of time. So it doesn't matter. I work with most private clients, you know, for 12 months at a time, but it doesn't matter if it's 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. We'll schedule out all of the calls for the year. And the reason why we do that is because it creates a matrix. It creates the container. It creates a certainty of, you know, when we're going to be meeting. It really helps create that tight container. What can oftentimes happen if you don't schedule out your calls, it's like you have a call, a session, and then what if the client doesn't schedule again for another month, right? That's a leaky container. Now, of course, things happen. Just because we schedule out doesn't mean that rescheduling doesn't happen. As things come up, absolutely, there's a system for rescheduling. But I find it just helps to create a really strong container. So again, we're going to have a full class a little bit later on, you know, how to create contracts. The contract is part of the container, all of that. But I want you to just start thinking about things like this. Every coaching session is its own container. So let's talk about this for a moment. I think of every coaching session as its own container. And the way to create containers around sessions is as follows. Number one, my private clients, they all fill out a pre-session accountability form or prep form where I ask them questions, you know, what do you want to celebrate since our last session? You know, what inner wisdom has come to you? I ask different questions, you know, what is it that you'd like to focus on this session? You know, and for different clients, I may massage what the prep form is, but that prep form is a way of them preparing for the session, right? So the container for that session is already being paved. It's a way for me to quickly be brought into the picture of what's been going on for them. And it gives us like a little bit of a roadmap of how we're going to guide the session. So that's the first thing I do to create a container for each coaching session. The second thing I do, and I highly recommend if you don't already do this, to start doing this, at the beginning of every coaching session, I ask my client to set intentions for the session. So that may sound like, what is it that you would like to receive from our time together today? Or it might sound like, what is it that you make sure you want to get before we're complete? Or what are your intentions for our call today? It's such a simple, obvious thing, but a lot of coaches don't do this. Now, when you don't do this, the container is leaky, right? Because it's like, how do you guide the session? Where are you going? You don't know what the end result is going to be. You need some bookends, right? You need some direction. So I always take the time to ask, what is it that you'd like to receive? Now, sometimes the client knows and they can answer right away and it's clear and we're off. Other times it's a couple minutes of conversation to really tease out what is it that they would like to receive. So just like we set the intention to create at the beginning of the call to create the container, another important component to creating the container is how you end a coaching call. I always like to end a coaching call by asking What are you taking from our time together today? What's resonating most deeply from our session? Or I may say, you know, before we wrap, share with me how you're feeling and what you've received. And usually I don't want to hear, like, these are all the next steps that I'm going to be taking, you know, if we've strategized the launch or whatever it is. But I'm looking for, like, what are the deeper pieces that they're taking? Again, this helps close the container. It helps with integration. You want to think of each of your coaching sessions as a container. You also want to think of the entire coaching cycle or contract as its own container. So if someone signs on for 3 months or 6 months or 12 months, you know, whatever it is, you want to think about each session as its own container, but then that entire cycle as a container as well. And ways to create that again, as I said, getting clear on the ground rules and the protocols. Number two, having a kickoff call. So the first session oftentimes is going to be different than the rest of the session. In that kickoff call, you're going to really set intentions for the entire coaching cycle. Having a closing call, right? Again, those bookends. So don't just end your coaching with the last, right? Just like a regular session. You're going to do something special for that last call. And we'll get there. I'll eventually explain, you know, and give you some ways to do that. But you want integration at the end of a cycle. It helps for deep learning. It also helps a client continue working with you. Sometimes I'll add in a midpoint call where we assess everything that's happened in the first half of our cycle. Again, it helps to create the container. If you include email interaction in between sessions, that's part of your container, right? So you want to be clear on how quickly you respond to emails. So I always like to tell my clients, you know, I'll respond to any emails within 2 working days. Now, again, that's important for the container because then there's certainty. There's clarity on when I'm going to respond. So if somebody sends an email and I don't respond that day, they don't think I've fallen off the face of the earth and that there's a loose container, right? They know that within 48 hours I'm going to respond. Okay, so let me pause there and just see, are there any questions on containers, on what a container is, why it's important, or what are you seeing for yourself in terms of containers and what's important? And we've all, I know, have been part of a leaky container, either in one-on-one or a group program, where it just feels like we don't know what's happening. There isn't, you know, clarity about how we're being held. You know, we're in the matrix, right? And then you feel less engaged. It's harder to learn. It's harder to be more present. So star two, any questions on that? Or just anything you want to share around containers? Okay, looks like you guys are all clear on that. Oh, no, there's a question.
Hi, it's Berhinda. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? I didn't hear who it was.
Berhinda.
Hi.
Hi. So, yeah, I do have a question around holding containers. So mm-hmm. I know maybe all of us have defined this or have not defined this like an ideal client, but when you decide perhaps someone is not an ideal client, I still feel like it's a person, so a container still needs to be held for them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you create a container for when you decide that it's not a good fit to work with someone?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I'm glad you're bringing it forward. So first thing I want to say is a lot of times coaches think it's not a good fit when actually it might be, but they just don't have the skills. So my hope is that, like, through this program, there's still people that are not ideal that we shouldn't continue with, but my hope is, like, through the program, we'll each, everybody will be getting deeper skills to deal with people that they may have otherwise thought of, like, oh, she's not ideal, or, you know, whatever it is. But that being said, there, time to time, it will come up that you start working with someone and they're just not the right fit for the work, or it's not the right time, they're just not ready. They may be ideal, but they're not ideal in that moment. And you're right, you still need a strong container, because exiting is part of the container.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is always about being honest and loving, right? So if I see that someone just isn't ideal, or it's not the right time, or I can't provide for them what they need, I'll just have a real honest and loving conversation with them about it. And I'll say, you know, I always want to be in full integrity in the work, and I never want to just have anyone invest unless I feel that together we can really co-create the results that you desire. And what I'm seeing is I don't feel like we're going to be able to do that together right now. And if it's appropriate, I'll give some reasons why. And then I'll usually ask, like, how that lands, if, you know, if they agree, or, you know, what they're seeing. Because sometimes I might miss something and there's a tweak and then we can continue on. Other, you know, most of the time not, though. And then from there, I'll say, you know, my sense is it would be great to have one more session or two more sessions, whatever, I think is going to be helpful for them in order for us to wrap up the work and give you a good exit strategy. If I know someone that's a good resource or referral for them that I think can help them, I'll also give them the resource and the referral as well. And then if it's someone that I sense at some point in the future could be an ideal client, I'll say to them, you know, I'd love to keep in touch. I'd love to check in. You know, I'll send some emails, like, let's be in touch. And you know, if it's someone that I sense, like, in 6 months they'll be ready or whatever it is, I'll say, and let's, you know, reconnect and have a conversation when X happens. See if you're ready then. Is that helpful?
I'd like to dial it in just a little bit more. When I say, like, not necessarily an ideal client, when a person can't afford your services. So, yeah, it's like they're from a personality or the vision that you can see for them. And I'll use an I statement here. I'm intuitive, so I can tell, like, when a person really is committed. I can feel that sense of urgency and commitment, but sometimes they may not always be able to afford me.
Got it.
But that doesn't
mean
that they don't
work.
So
then that's
going to
happen in the enrollment process.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, you're going to want to really ask the right questions and sense in energetically. And, you know, again, honest and loving. So when that happens, you know, you don't let it get to the point for someone to even step in if you know that it's not a good fit financially or, you know, otherwise. And you say, like, you know, I'm so glad that you reached out. I love X, Y, and Z about you. I don't feel like it's going to be the best fit. And again, if it's appropriate, you can explain why. If it's not appropriate, you could say, like, I don't feel like it's going to be the best fit. It doesn't feel like the right time. And then give them a referral if you've got one. Someone that maybe doesn't charge as much. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always so important, you know, from the enrollment conversation onwards, to really, like, if you see it, to just to be honest about it. It will save you a lot of heartache later on. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good question. Lisa.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because this seems like, you know, a container of responsibility and accountability. If ever you have found yourself kind of switching gears from the work into helping a person learn how to be responsible and accountable, does it ever go sideways like that?
I want to make sure I understand the question. Can you just explain a little bit more?
So a person might come with an idea of what they want to be working on, but they're having trouble with their role of the container, of their responsibility to the container, of how they show up. Yeah. And if there's ever a time where it would be of like this, the coaching, instead of being the topic they came for, kind of turns into like mini sessions on how to show up.
100%. That is part of the coaching. And part of my coaching philosophy is that, you know, Alyssa, I'm hearing a little bit of an echo. Am I on speaker?
No.
Oh, weird. I'm talking here. A little bit of an echo. So part of the Sacred Depths coaching philosophy is that we're there to help co-create the results that our clients come to us for. That's one piece.
Mm-hmm.
But the
mm-hmm.
other piece is that our coaching container with our clients is there to teach and model them other pieces that they're ready to be taught and modeled. And so accountability is one of those things, right? Most people have trouble with accountability, actually. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I do every now and again over the years, I've seen clients who like come and they just like, they do everything they say they're going to do. And right. Like, it's awesome.
Right.
But the truth is 99% of the people, the reason why they hire you is because they also need to learn accountability. And so we'll be, as we go through the program, you'll see, you know, how to help teach some of that for sure. But I always like to say, and again, this is the other reason why the container is so important, because it's not just about, you know, the result, but it's what they're learning in between the lines through the coaching
mm-hmm.
container. That makes sense?
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought
okay.
that forward.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for bringing it forward. Okay. All right. So all that being said, now we can start to dive into listening skills. So our listening module is going to be 3 calls long. Today we're going to be looking at the foundational principles of listening. And then on our next call, we're going to be looking at listening tools and listening filters, which are key, and what to actually listen for when you're coaching. And then in our third listening call, we're going to have our listening practicum, where you'll be practicing, we'll be listening together, and you'll be getting feedback on your listening. So where we're starting today with listening, the foundational principles of listening, like I mentioned last week, at the outset, as we look at these principles, they may seem so simple and so obvious. They will. But it's only when we really pay attention and get into more of the nuances of the principles that even more masterful listening can happen. So again, don't shut off or go into resistance because you already know or because it's obvious. Allow yourself to open up to get into the nuances. So speaking of listening, my invitation for you is to listen to this call with fresh ears so that you can go even deeper with your listening skills. So after the energetics of the coaching relationship, which we looked at last week, I really believe that listening skills are the next most core skill, because everything that we do in coaching, from questioning to acknowledging to strategizing to working with shadow, all of it is predicated on what we've heard from our clients. We need to be able to really listen in order to do anything else as a coach. So first, let me ask you this. I want you to think about your client relationships or the relationships in your life, any relationships you have in your life, and just be honest with yourself, not to beat yourself up, but just so you can assess, how well do you actually listen? How well do you really hear the other person's truth, the other person's beliefs, the other person's experience, the other person's understandings, and the perspectives behind the words that they say? How well do you hear even what the speaker doesn't even realize that she's saying or even realize about herself? This is what we're going for with masterful listening skills. When we as coaches can listen masterfully, we then hold in our hands the key to creating results through our coaching. So here's the first principle that I want you to be aware of in order to be a masterful listener. And by the way, this principle, I could have easily put it last week too, in energetics. So it's a principle for energetics, and it's a principle for listening. The principle is everyone wants to be seen, heard, and loved. Everyone wants to be seen, heard, and loved. It doesn't matter what work you do. It doesn't matter who your ideal clients are. It doesn't matter what types of results you're in the business of creating as a coach. If you're going to coach someone or mentor them or teach them or shepherd them towards any kind of goal or any kind of growth, you need to remember that everyone wants to be seen, heard, and loved. Even someone who at the outset doesn't seem to want this, I promise you, in their core, this is something they deeply desire. To be seen, heard, and loved. When an individual, when our clients feel seen, heard, and loved, then they feel validated. They naturally then feel more confident. They naturally then feel more accepting of themselves. They naturally then feel more courageous. They feel more valued. They feel more willing and able to take action. Now, if you're here, I know that you know this, right? We all know this. And yet, it can sometimes be forgotten in the coaching context because we get so focused on wanting to help our clients get their goals done, or we get so focused on trying to be successful and do a good job as a coach. So then maybe we bowl over a concern that a client is having. Or maybe because we're so focused, we don't hear between the lines. Or we overlook a particular frame of mind that a client is in. Or we forget to acknowledge the growth that they have made instead of looking towards what still needs to be done right away. And when we do any of that, when we focus just solely on the goal or on being a good coach, we in essence stop listening. And when we stop listening, then we've detracted from the mutual trust and respect of the energetics and the container and the coaching relationship. Now, what usually gets in the way of creating an environment where our clients feel seen, heard, and loved by us? Well, it's usually 100% related to to the unequal playing field that we've been looking at. If you're really focused as the coach on your own flaws in the relationship, it's going to be really hard to really see and hear and love your client. Or if you're really focused on your client's flaws, it's also going to be really hard to see and hear and love them. So I want to ask you this, and again, no judgment. This is just so that you can start becoming more aware and so that you can have more choices. I want you to think about your client relationships or your personal relationships. How well are you doing at helping others feel seen, heard, and loved? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how well are you doing at helping others feel seen, heard, and loved? And just to fess up, right, because like I don't think any of us are at a 10, you know, for example, I'll just use my relationship with my husband. Oftentimes I'm way better at helping my clients feel seen, heard, and loved, but with my husband, it's like I get focused on either what he's doing wrong or, you know, whatever it is, and it's harder for me to really listen, right, and help him feel seen, heard, and loved. Or sometimes if I feel like a client isn't going as quickly as I anticipated they would, if I don't check myself, if I don't check my energetics, it's really hard for me to really listen to them and help them feel seen, heard, and loved, right? So scale of 1 to 10, where are you at with that? And then next question, what stops you from being a wholehearted 10 in this area? What is it that holds you back from being able to fully see, hear, and love others? Take a moment and jot down some thoughts on that one. What stops you from being a wholehearted 10? All right, now let's turn this one on its head for a moment. So what I've sometimes observed for coaches and practitioners is that sometimes our own need to be seen, heard, and loved gets in the way of us being able to see, hear, and love our clients. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes our own need to be seen, heard, and loved by our clients gets in our way of being able to do this for our clients. So take a moment with this one. Has this ever shown up for you? Has your need to be seen as smart or brilliant or intuitive or strategic, you know, whatever, or good enough, whatever it is, has your need to be seen, heard, and loved gotten in your way of fully listening, seeing, hearing, and loving your clients? That's good to be aware of, right? So you can start to course correct. All right, let's pause here for a moment. I'd love to hear what you're seeing so far from this topic of being seen, heard, and loved. I'd love to hear from one or two of you. Star 2 to raise your hand. What feels important here? What are you seeing? Who is this? 5473 are your last numbers.
It's Siobhan.
Hi, Siobhan.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. Everything is just like ding, 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 ding. I'm so new at this that, yeah, it's just all kind of hitting me between the eyes. And what really came up in this last little bit that we did is my low self-esteem gets in the way.
Mm.
You know, my sense of inferiority or fear that, you know, I'm, like you said, not being seen, heard, or loved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If my self-esteem is shaky to begin with, then of course I'm going to be focused on that.
It's really
hard to
be present. Exactly. It's really hard to see, hear, and love someone else if you're that focused on yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's lots of work we can do around that, but just that awareness, mm-hmm. Siobhan, I want you to take it into your work and check yourself on it. You'll start to see a shift just from being aware of it.
Awesome.
Good.
Great. Thank you.
And I think it would be worthwhile for you to do some journaling on it, too, just on what's coming up. Yeah, let's see what more
works. Okay, good.
There. Beautiful.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, I'll take a couple of other shares. Who is this? 0444 are your last numbers.
Hi, Joanna. It's Susan Duco.
Hi.
Hey. I am really coming in touch with something that was kind of nagging at the back of my brain for a while now, which is this very high energy and super extroverted personality I have also comes with a price, which is an impulsivity and an impatience.
Mm. Oh, I just got chills when you said that. I can feel that.
Yeah.
Important.
I feel it in my gut. I do. I feel it in my gut. It doesn't feel good, though. But it'll
to feel the discomfort, right? I want you to
be
with it because it's going to help shift things. And I feel like this is a breakthrough for you, right? Because when we're impatient, it's really hard to be present to see, hear, and love.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad that you're seeing
that.
Thank
you.
Yeah. Well
done. And then, Joanna, do you have any words for all of us, I think, maybe most of us, because you keep saying not to beat yourself up. Do you have any words of wisdom about how to not? Because I'm realizing prior to this course just how sensitive I am to anything that feels like criticism.
Yes.
And
I
want to learn, and yet I get into that resistance.
Yeah, I'm so happy you're bringing that up. So how is it that I know to noodle in to these areas and that people are going to have stuff around it? Number one, because I want to just normalize this 100% because I experience it, right? And I see it happening across the board. I've worked with enough practitioners now to see and know it. And so I want to, number one, just normalize all of this, right? And say, like, I consider myself to be an incredible practitioner, and I'm still working on these areas. I'm not coming to you from perfection here or on my high horse. I am in process, right? Yes. And so the purpose of this is not to beat yourself up. The purpose of this is to bring it into awareness so that you can be in deeper process with it and in an intentional way, because the truth is, we're bringing it up like higher in your consciousness right now, but you're actually always holding it and probably beating yourself up for it.
Yeah.
So this is a way of being more intentional with it, and having more choice around it, knowing that none of us are perfect. We are all flawed human beings, and it's supposed to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you. I love especially that part where you said it's always in there. Because when I said that, when I started talking, I said it's kind of been in the back of my brain, but now it's in the front. That really resonates. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I just one more piece on this. It's important. Energy follows energy. If we as practitioners are willing to look to explore these places of ourselves and not beat ourselves up, and hold it and see the meaning in it, then it's going to be easier for us to go there and take our clients to those places too.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a good motivator. If I know being gentle with me helps others be gentle with them, right?
Yes. Right? I know sometimes it's like you can't do it for yourself, dude.
Right.
Right? Yeah. 100%. Good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Going to take a couple, there's a bunch of hands up. I'm going to take a couple more. These are all great questions and great shares. Anne.
Yes. Hi. I noticed that the place with clients where I am most likely to get hooked is when their resistance is showing up as an unwillingness to take responsibility for the agreements that they've made with me. So, like a client who's violating the cancellation policy and then getting mad at me that I won't give them a special dispensation the third time. Or when they're like, I'm not getting results, this isn't working, but they also haven't been doing their homework and won't dialogue about what's going on. That's where I'm most likely to get hooked and feel like they're saying that I'm not good enough, that I'm not doing my job, and that projection will get me every time.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're aware of it. So part of this, I hate to say wait, but we're going to do a whole call on resistance archetypes. We're going to get there, I promise. But I want to give you something for now. So first, just, you know, the awareness is important. But, you know, what I would say just further is the first place to start there is with your own triggers.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you, when you've got a client that's doing that, what are you making it mean about you? Or what is it that you're really allowing to be triggered?
Yeah, so one place that I might go is, if I were a better coach, they wouldn't be having this problem right now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. So,
right, like, I screwed
up. So clearly,
right,
why you're getting triggered. So if you can be aware of that, right, that belief, and work with that, then, and like I said, when we get to the module, I'm going to give you all the instruction on how to handle it, but if you can work with that belief, you'll already, without even me giving you instruction, know how to better handle it, because you're going to be coming from a different place where you can see, hear, and love that this is just a client that's struggling right now. It has nothing to do with you not being a good enough coach, and then you can have that love and compassion that will allow you to guide them to the next place.
Yeah, because I can see that, like, from a logical place, they're just coming up against their own resistance.
Yeah.
There's something that they're afraid of that they don't want to face, and it's easier to blame me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for getting their results. And I know it's one of those places where when it comes up just once, I can be in the logical, loving place. And then if it keeps coming up, it's there's a larger pattern of having been raised that I should always be able to anticipate all the problems and have all the right answers before something goes wrong. So when something isn't going as expected, it's like a fatal character flaw. It's not just, isn't this interesting?
Yeah.
I'm curious about what's going on for this client.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It takes a lot of effort.
You're coaching yourself right now, right? I love it. So I want you to, in those moments, because when we're triggered, we're firing off really quickly. I want you, if you find yourself getting triggered, I want you to slow yourself down and connect these dots for yourself that you're connecting. Sometimes we can do it in our minds. And when we're on an actual coaching session, we kind of have to do it in our minds. But what's often really helpful is to write it out, too, as a way of slowing it down.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Nice. Okay, there's some other hands raised. Christine and Leah, I want to get to you guys, but I also have quite a bit more content for today. So I'm definitely going to have time at the end where I'll open up for Q&A and more reflections, and I want to hear yours. But let's continue with the listening principles for right now. So it's the second listening principle that I want to bring to your attention. Again, another super obvious one, but we all need the reminder. Be truly present in every moment. Be truly present in every moment. So what does that mean? Being truly present, when we are present, that's when we're deeply hearing, when we're hearing in all the ways, listening in all the ways, and hearing in all the ways that we want to. So So being truly present means showing up fully. It means bringing your full mind, attention, focus, heart, spirit, and soul to the session. It means not allowing distractions like technology or thoughts about the rest of your day or anxieties about your performance get in the way of you fully showing up. Energy follows energy. You're going to hear me say this like 100 times over the next 10 months. Energy follows energy. If you're fully present, then your client is much more likely to be fully present. If you're not fully present, your client is much more likely to not be fully present as well. Now, let's think specifically about the distraction of feeling like you're not good enough or constantly worrying that the session isn't going well enough. What happens? Well, when that happens, you worry and you stress, and then you start to question yourself more. And then here's what happens next. When you as the coach are feeling off because you're questioning yourself, there's no way, there is absolutely no way that you can remain fully present to your clients. That's because our human brains can't really multitask. Our prefrontal cortexes won't actually allow it. And when we're not present, we're nowhere near our best. When you're present and you've got the right energetics, then you can feed 10 birds with one hand. So if you're prone to spinning out into self-doubt while you're coaching, which just by the way, the majority of coaches are, especially in their first year, then you want to be very, very conscious of remaining truly present from the get-go. Any kind of mindfulness or presence practices that you can put in place will help with the worrying. Bringing yourself back to being present with your client will actually help you override the self-doubts, at least in that moment. Because you can't focus on your self-doubts while you're also focusing on your client. So if you're fully focused on your client, there's not room then for the self-doubts in that moment. There's only room for one of those things in your prefrontal cortex at any given time. So again, I know that this is obvious. Of course you want to show. You know, if you're here in sacred depths, this is obvious to you. Of course you want to show up fully present for your clients. And for your children, if you have children. And when you're driving, if you drive a car, right? Whatever it is, we all want to be present. We know this. But just be honest with yourself for a moment. Where are the places that you distract yourself? And again, I'll be the first to fess up to this. I've gotten better and better and better in client sessions on being fully present, but there are a lot of other places in my life where I am, like, deeply in process with that. Okay, so what can you do to be more present? Well, number one, the reason why I started our call off today with a short meditation was because it's nice to do a little grounding and a meditation, but I just wanted to also model for you if that's something that helps you. It doesn't always, doesn't work for everyone, but if doing a little grounding like that helps you, do a grounding like that before you get on a call or do it the first 3 minutes of the call with your clients. I don't do it anymore these days, but the first few years I was coaching, I always started every coaching session with a little grounding visualization. It was for my clients to get fully present and grounded, but it also helped me a lot. Or get grounded at the beginning of your work day. Taking the time to get present at the beginning of the workday before you start your calls can have a little bit of a lasting effect throughout the day. Another practice I do to be fully present is in the morning before I have client sessions, I think about each of my clients that I'm going to be working with that day, and I just energetically send that client love. I really focus on that client, and I set intentions for how I want to show up in that session. Of course, I know this is an obvious one, but it's so easy in modern life to fall in. Turn off distractions, right? Like, don't turn off email, turn off social media, turn off the ringer on your phone. You know, if you know that those distract you, turn them off. Take care of your body. We can get distracted and then not be fully present if we have to pee, if we're hungry, if we're thirsty, right? So make sure you take care of your body before you get on a client call. Don't read any emails that you sense are going to trigger you right before a call or a session. I am guilty of that. I 2 minutes before a session comes in, I see an email that I know I shouldn't read in that moment, but of course I do, and then I'm not going into the session fully present. As I said earlier, continue to bring your focus back to your client. That will really help too. Okay. Next principle, listening principle, is listen to yourself as well as to your client. Listen to yourself as well as to your client. What does that mean? So traditionally, the way that listening skills are taught for coaches and really for anyone is traditionally they're taught as if they're a one-way street. You listen to your client. End of story. But the truth is that listening to your client is only half of what's required for deep listening skills. What's also required is to listen to yourself. So what does listening to yourself mean? Well, as you listen to your client, what do you sense about your client? Do you sense that your client is excited? Do you sense that they're speaking, you know, nicely about something, but really it's somebody else's expectations that they're talking about, not really their own? Do you sense that your client isn't thinking as big as he's ready to? Do you sense your client isn't really present to what they're talking about? Do you sense that they're really just skimming the surface? Do you sense that there's big emotion under the story that they're sharing, even though they're trying to be calm? Right, those are just some examples. So I see this as a dance between listening to your client and listening to yourself. These two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. And in fact, when you're listening masterfully, they really work together so beautifully. You listen to your client, you deeply listen, and you take it in. And then as you're doing that, you also listen then to your own internal wisdom response based on what your client is saying. Now, we always want to check our filters, which we're going to get to next week, around how we're listening to ourselves. We'll get there. But for today, I want you to just think about this dance between listening to yourself and listening to your client. Right? So a little bit of this internal wisdom response that I'm talking about, we could call it intuition, if that term resonates for you, or you can just call it inner wisdom. But either way, take a moment and write down for yourself, how does your inner wisdom or your intuition give you guidance when you're listening? Do you hear something about your client? Do you feel it in your body? Do you sense it? Do you see it? You know, how or other ways, how do you listen to yourself? So these intuitions or these hunches, when you're listening to yourself, are oftentimes really important when it comes to listening and when it comes to coaching. But that being said, a lot of practitioners have trouble listening or listening well to themselves or their intuition or their hunches. And the number one reason for this is that people don't trust their own inner wisdom and their own hunches. In other words, we're not taught to trust our intuition or our experience of the world. So just take a moment and check that out for yourself when you're coaching or, you know, just when you're in any relationship. Are you really listening, not just to the person that you're coaching or in relationship with or listening to, but are you also listening to yourself? And if not, if you're not, how come? Why? So one really great way to build this muscle and to build it in a way where you really, you know, because a lot of times people fear that they're not going to listen to the client if they're also listening to themselves, right? And we want to always make sure it's both. A really great tool for this and to build your intuition or your hunches and to do it in a way that is really listening to the client and to yourself is after each client session to actually journal on this question. What is my intuition or what is my inner wisdom telling me about this client? What is my inner wisdom telling me about this client? Or what do I sense about my client that she doesn't even know yet about herself? What do I sense about my client that she doesn't even know yet about herself? Those are two really, just as a practice, right? Because sometimes as we're starting to do this, like in the moment, in the session, it's hard to listen to the client and listen to ourselves. So this is a way to start to practice and get better at really listening to ourselves based on what we're hearing from our clients to ask those questions. And you know, since I'm talking about this topic of doing some journaling after sessions, what I want to offer for you as a practice, if this feels right for you, is after client sessions or after your partner coaching sessions to spend 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, or it can be shorter if you don't have that much time, and to ask, to fill out a form, and I'll provide that for you in the member center. But, you know, a really good thing is to kind of answer the following questions. First question, what went really well in the session? Second question, what would I like to do differently next time? And then third question is this one about intuition. What is my intuition or my inner wisdom telling me about this client or what this client needs to know or what she needs to hear, you know, whatever it is. It's a nice practice to do that. Okay, I've got a couple of other listening principles I want to get through, and then we'll open up for shares. Next principle that goes hand in hand with everything, actually, we've been talking about today is to be curious. Be curious. I know, another obvious one, but let's dive into this a bit more. When you're curious, so much is possible. So much more is available to open up. So much more creativity and creative solutions are available when you're curious. And this really goes hand in hand with listening to yourself. You listen to your client, which will yield messages or wisdom or intuitions that your inner self will bring up, which you want to listen to. And then from there, allow yourself to be curious based on what you heard from your client and what you heard from yourself. In other words, your intuition isn't there to be the end-all, be-all right answer. Your intuition is there to open you up to be curious in the most potent and powerful places of what your client is sharing with you. When your curiosity is activated, then you don't just take things that your client says for granted or at face value. You listen underneath the surface. So, for example, if a client says, that hasn't worked before in the past, right? Whatever it is, online dating hasn't worked before. Doing a social media campaign in my business hasn't worked before. Cutting out carbs hasn't worked before. You know, whatever it is that you're coaching them on, curiosity and the dance here between listening to yourself and listening to your client may lead you to wonder to yourself, is that actually true? How or why hasn't it worked in the past? Not just it's a done deal that hasn't worked, so let's look at the next thing, right? Or if a client says, you know, I just don't like to exercise. If you're not curious, then you're going to look for another solution, another strategy, another thing, right? But if you're being curious, then it may lead to questions like, you don't like all, is it all exercise that you don't like? Are there some exercises that you do? Or what's that about that you don't like exercise? Where do you think that comes from, right? We're not just taking it at face value and moving along. Or if a client says, I want to create a seven-figure business. You know, there's so many coaches that just take that at face value. Okay, so now I'm going to help this client create a seven-figure business. That's what they say. But if you're truly and deeply and masterfully listening and you're using this principle of being curious, you may ask the client, what does that mean? You know, what does a seven-figure business mean for you? Why do you want this seven-figure business? It may turn out that absolutely that's the way to go for them, or it may turn out that that's like something that's actually not aligned for them, right? So curiosity is a skill that can sometimes be more challenging than it seems. We're all born with the skill of curiosity innately. Every baby is born with curiosity. But for most of us, we lose it along the way. It gets buried under history. Our younger selves, our little girls, our little boys, our little people inside of us, you know, they're interested in everything, right? They walk outside, they're curious. When they're walking outside, they're curious about the flowers. They're curious about the trees. They're curious about everything. I see this in my five-year-old daughter, right? She's not jaded by experience. Everything is something to be curious about. But like I said, for so many of us, that little one that's so curious can get buried under history. Maybe that one was told in one way or another, in words or not, that curiosity killed the cat. Or maybe that one got the message that her curiosity would be problematic for the family. You know, don't be too curious about this or that. Or that her curiosity or his curiosity made him too precocious. Or maybe somehow they got the message that their curiosity made them different from everybody else in the family. Or maybe there just wasn't time for curiosity, only for getting things done, or it wasn't practical enough. Right? And then how often do we do this in our own lives? Even outside of the coaching context, where we block off our curiosity, and then along with it, we end up blocking off possibilities just because we're taking things at face value or for granted in our lives. Right? So just, you know, as one example, how often have you said to yourself, you know, I just simply can't work fewer hours than I do. It has to be like this. What would happen if you brought some more curiosity to that? All right, so part one of the things in your work for this week is that we'll go a little bit deeper into exploring around your curiosity and maybe when you lost some of that curiosity and all of that. Now, another piece of your homework is going to be to cultivate curiosity. So the best way to cultivate curiosity is to practice it in your own life. Practice it on your client calls, your coaching sessions, and also in your own life. So what are the things in your life that you just take as a given that you're no longer approaching with curiosity or openness or room for new ideas or solutions? I don't know. So one of the things that I oftentimes, it's just coming to me now, and I'm going to bring more curiosity to it, but it's like, you know, there's certain foods that my kids just won't eat. It's like a done deal. They're just not going to eat, blah, 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 right? What would happen if I brought more curiosity to that? What would happen if I brought more curiosity to not being able to do a handstand in yoga? So a great way to cultivate curiosity, and one of my favorite ways, and by the way, curiosity helps you be more present. It actually goes hand in hand with being present, because when you're curious, you're fully, fully, fully present in the moment, right? So one of my favorite ways to cultivate curiosity is to go on curiosity walks. And this doesn't have to be more than 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but when I see that I'm not being fully present or I'm not being fully curious in my life or on my calls or whatever's going on, I will take a 5 or 10 minute break. I will go outside, and the idea is to take in details on my walk around my block that I have not taken in before. Oh, that branch has fallen. Oh, those flowers are blooming. Oh, I never noticed that crack in the sidewalk right there. Oh, there are a lot of people out today. Oh, there aren't people out today. Oh, I feel cold. I feel hot. Right? Whatever it is. But to go on a curiosity walk. All right, we're in the home stretch here. There's one more listening principle that I wanted to get to today. And it's listen for the who, because you always want to coach the what based on the who. Listen for the who, because you always want to coach the what based on the who. So what this means is that a big mistake that a lot of coaches and teachers and practitioners make is that they hear a certain result that a client wants or a certain obstacle that a client has, and they coach the what and not the who. It becomes really cookie cutter when you do this and you stop. It cuts off deep and masterful listening. You always want to listen for the who and then coach the what based on the who. Let me give you some examples because it will make it more clear. So I'll just give you an example for my own work. A lot of times when I work with entrepreneurs, one of the things that we do is we create an ideal schedule. Because I find, you know, actually back to containers, schedules are like containers. And I find that if someone is clear on these are the hours that I'm working with clients and these are the hours that I have for curriculum development and these are the hours that I have for market, you know, whatever it is, then they can get more done, they feel more balanced, you know, all the things. That's the what. Creating the ideal schedule is the what. But I always want to listen for the who and coach the what based on the who. And so what that means is I'm going to coach, help someone create their ideal schedule differently if they're a single person without children than if they're a parent or if they're a single parent. I'm going to coach someone to create their ideal schedule differently if they are healthy and have their full energy all the time versus if they have an autoimmune. I'm going to coach someone differently based on their who, and I need to be listening to their who. Here's another example. Let's say you're one of the things you work with on clients is helping them release weight. One client who comes to you and says they want to lose 20 pounds, you're going to coach that person differently than someone else who wants to lose 20 pounds, and it's about listening to the who. Who are these people? Where are they at? What are their age? What is their lifestyle? What is their personality? What are their patterns, right? You want to coach the who based on the what. We're going to be, in our next class next week, we're going to be learning all the different ways to listen for the who. But I really want to be clear on that. And I want to share another little piece of wisdom around this, which I think is pure gold, and I think you will too. Part of this listening for the who, so that you coach the what based on the who, has to do with where we start with our clients when we work with them. So a big mistake that a lot of coaches make is that they think that when they start working with a particular client, that client is ready for outer action, that client is ready to pick up and take strides and go, you know, make things happen. The truth is, really, like 60 to 70% of the time, when you start working with a client, the who of who they are and where they're at, you want to really listen, they need to do some inner work first, or maybe they need to do some grieving first, or maybe they need to do some releasing first, or maybe they need to do some cleaning house first, before they can take the outer action. You want to really listen for where a client is at when you start working for them. I'm a student, as many of you know, I'm a student of the seasons. I just derive a lot of how I live my own life and wisdom from the seasons. I'll be talking about the seasons a lot in this training. And I think of it this way. We don't want to make the assumption that our clients are in spring or summer when they start working with us, right? Spring or summer is, you know, the flowers and the plants and the trees, they're all blooming, their outer growth is happening, all the stuff. For some clients, that may be so, but there are going to be other clients that are in autumn or winter, and we need to coach that. We need to coach them through that first before they can get to the outer, right, to the spring and the summer. Okay, I know I've shared a lot with you today, and there's more discussion to be had. So first thing I'd like for you to do is just take a moment and jot down, what's your biggest takeaway? Right, back to containers, right? And remember how I said you always want to close with integration. It's part of the container. So what's your biggest takeaway, or some of your the thing that feels most impactful for you today, an insight, an important piece? What's a takeaway for you for today? Write that down. I'd love for you to share the takeaway in our Facebook group. I'm also going to open up. I know we're almost at time, but I am going to open up. I'd love to hear some of your takeaways and any of your questions in a moment. But please also share it in the Facebook group. It's good for you to, like, double down on the integration, to write it and then have it be seen and heard, right, like we've been talking about today. And it's just great learning for all of us. It also helps me track you so I can really get you what you need. And then your homework, you're going to have a worksheet this week in your member center to help you go deeper with all of the pieces that we've been looking at today. And then, of course, if you're already working with clients, I want you to start integrating these principles in. All right, so that being said, I'm going to hang on the line for a couple extra minutes. I'd love to hear any questions that you have or any takeaways or reflections that you want to share, star two. And, of course, if you have to go, we're just at time, so, of course, I release you, but I will hang on for a few minutes. So star two. Leah. Leah, are you there? I took you off mute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Okay. Hi. I had a lot of good takeaways today. Earlier, I think you were talking a lot on that the trust piece, like trusting your intuition and listening to yourself. And I think that has been really important to me lately, like having ahas that they keep coming, you know, if a few of them, they'll keep coming up and you brush them off and then it's that kind of nagging, like, oh,
yeah,
this is probably something that I need to bring up. And then you'll get the bigger aha that, oh, that was actually a piece that built the puzzle. And I'm really liking that. I think it's really cool. I have, I'm doing some chakra work with a woman that does kind of a spiral through your chakras. And this week was all about the love. So her journaling questions were all, when I trust myself, ... when I fully love, accept, and show up myself for myself, ... and listening to how people, internalize, a client not showing up for themselves versus us showing up for ourselves and then being able to show up for the client was like a big full circle aha for me.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yeah, I can see all of the connections and the dots being connected and the light ups. And I love that you're listening to yourself. And if you feel like you want to go deeper, I really do recommend after sessions, just answer that question, like, what is my inner wisdom telling me? What are my hunches about this client or what this client needs to hear or where she needs to go? It'll help you, like, go even deeper and get even more acclimated in trusting yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Beautiful. Really nice. Christine.
Hello, Joanna.
Hi.
Okay, so we've got a lot swirling around, and so I'm hoping that this will actually make sense when I say it. But my big takeaway from today is I'm really starting to notice, having spent the last 15 or so years doing intuitive consulting work and readings, right, where I've learned to listen, especially in doing animal communication sessions, right, where I have to learn to listen, ask questions, but then really my part is just delivering the information, right? This is the information that's coming through, so I'm just consulting. And moving into coaching, what I'm really getting is that, and I talked once before about noticing that when clients go into discomfort or resistance, and now I understand that it's triggering my need to be seen, heard, and loved based on not trusting in my coaching skills. I trust my consulting skills. I don't trust my coaching skills.
Yeah.
And I will then lose my curiosity, that ability to be curious and to lead them through coaching them, and I'll go right into consulting. And it feels crappy then when I get off the phone. I feel like I've left them, that I took something from them by not sticking with the coaching. And so this has been really, really helpful in helping me identify why I do that and how to stop doing it. So thank you.
I'm so happy. Yeah, I'm so happy. And what I love about what I'm hearing is that you're seeing, like, you're still retaining and seeing how valuable your intuition is, Mm-hmm. But you're adding this element of the curiosity to it, which is like opening it up in terms of how to then navigate it with clients. And we'll also be going in our creating awareness modules and our questioning modules, I'll be giving specific techniques and ways to be able to then bring the intuition that you hear to the clients in ways that isn't just consulting.
Yes, yes, thank you. Yeah, because I just had an aha, because it's, the curiosity is then about, I can feel getting excited about getting curious of, okay, if this is the information that I'm getting, how do I help them get it themselves as opposed to just give it to them?
Yes.
And that's exciting.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Good. Yay.
Thank you.
I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great. Beautiful. Well, thank you, everybody, for your presence and your focus and your attention. Please post your takeaways in the Facebook group. Any questions that come up this week, anything that comes through the homework, I'd love to hear it. I'm wishing you all a great week. And next week, we're going to go deeper into listening skills. See you then. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.